testing. Okay, good. Testing. All right, good. Good, good, good. Get them one of those notebooks, please. That's fine. All right. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says this in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, 6. Let's read that together. We began to, as I mentioned last week, expound that, and we are going to dig into that a little bit more here this evening and share some other things as well. But if you've got a copy of the scriptures, you read that with me here in Proverbs 22, 6. Let's go ahead and begin. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22, 6, all right? And so let's pray. Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for the folks that have come out tonight. And thank you for the folks, Lord, that are concerned about biblically parenting their children. I pray that we all are. And I pray that you would help us. I pray for the parents that are in here and for those who are parents to be. And Lord, we need your grace, as we've already discussed. We need your wisdom. We just need your help, Father, when it comes to this matter of raising our children. And I pray that as children of God, we would depend on you and be led by you and allow you to parent us the way that you want to parent us. And we bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. What you got, brother? Some pins. Okay, I'm sorry. Here's some pins. All right, there you go. All right. So we asked the question last week when it came to parenting. Have you ever wondered if you were going about this whole parenting business the wrong way? All right. And so we asked that question, and I said that sometimes, you know, I'm still not sure. And I said, you know, God has given us another child. And I wonder, God, why did you give us another child? I don't know how good I'm doing with the first four that you, I don't know how well we're doing with the four that you gave us. And you gave us a fifth child. And that can be overwhelming at times. But here's the thing. God has direction for us. He has the scriptures for us so that we can raise our children how God wants us to raise our children. And so we looked at some words in this passage of scripture last week, and we saw the phrase train up basically means to dedicate. It means to train up a youth. And what we saw is that one of the things that we should do with our children, kind of like one of those Arabic midwives would take their hands and stick them into those crushed dates or those figs and stick it on the palate of that child's mouth so that child would learn how to suck, and so that child could go ahead and begin sucking and taking milk from his or her mother. And God says, as parents, we ought to initiate some things in our children to create some desires in them for the right things. And just like that Arabic midwife would say, here's something sweet. How many of you know kids like to suck on sweet stuff, right? And that helps them when they helps them develop that sucking ability. But listen, we ought to so to speak stick things on the palate of our children that helps them desire the right things. Amen. That's the idea of train up. And then we dealt with that phrase. And so our children, we should cause them to have an attraction to the things that are right. All right. Listen. Your children ought to have the right kind of taste buds. We know how our taste buds work. We got some things we like and we got some things that we don't like. Isn't that right? We have taste buds, and your children have taste buds. They've got moral taste buds. They've got spiritual taste buds. All right. And I mentioned that when our children come out, they are pagans. They don't have any rules whatsoever. They're going to come out. They really want to do what they want to do, and it doesn't take you long to figure out that they don't want to do what you want to do. They want to do what they want to do, all right? But you have to train them and initiate the right kind of things in them, all right? And it ain't going to take you very long to realize I didn't train little Johnny to back talk and fight and not want to obey. Little Johnny just wants to do this. Yeah, he got it from Dad. Actually, he got it from Mom. Yeah, y'all didn't catch that. But no. But you got to initiate the right things in little Johnny, all right, or little Susie, whoever, all right? I'm using these names to protect the guilty, you know what I'm saying? But listen, cultivate a desire in your child for what ought to be in them, okay? And so we looked at what the Bible says about children, and a child is a boy or a youth or a young lady of various ages. And basically, a child is someone still living with mother and father. They hadn't left home yet. And listen, it doesn't matter how old they are. If they're 30 years old and still living with mom and dad, they're still children. Yeah. Everybody understand that? That's how God defined that. Listen, you're still under the roof of authority. You haven't separated and established your own home. You're still a child. Yeah. But he's 50, still a child. He's 70. I know it sounds bad in the culture, but that's how it is. And that's how God said that it is. And the Bible says the way he should go. All right? Are y'all got y'all sheets? Y'all following along? I'm trying to give a quick review before we actually get back into some new material here this evening, all right? I'm just trying to give a short little review here. I know I don't really do things short, but I'm trying for the sake of the night. And I got a stopwatch going up here tonight, so I'm going to try to get us out here at a decent hour, all right? Don't laugh at that. I'm being serious, all right? But the Bible says the way he should go. Now, that phrase, we took some time and we dealt with that phrase last week. And we understand this about this phrase in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And we understand that Jesus is ultimately the way to go. Everybody understand that? Amen. But we also have to understand that each child is unique and each child has a way that God has designed he or she to go. All right. Now, and then I had an opportunity to have some conversations and think upon this passage a little bit more. Who is the best parent that you know? God is the best parent that you know. Now, with that being said, look at the nation of Israel. Did God set out a course for them? Did they obey God or rebel against God? Now, listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to say. If God is the best parent that we could know anything about, and his children rebel, it stands to reason that you cannot make this verse say that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. No one parents better than God. And if children rebelled against God, you can train your children. That doesn't mean that they're not going to turn out of the way. And that's how I know that this verse is not talking about, if you just train them right, then they'll never do anything wrong. That's not true at all. Look at God. Look at the nation of Israel. Everybody understand that? So this verse is to be taken in this sense. Each child is unique. And when you help that child discover who he or she is, they're not going to turn out of that. All right? Each child is unique. But we ought to encourage each child and present to each child their need to be saved. It doesn't matter the personality of that child. All right. It doesn't matter the gifts and how that child's mind function. They all need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everybody understand that? But each child is unique. And so God says, train up a child, initiate that child, help that child develop the right kind of taste buds. And no book came out, as we mentioned, when that child was born. And this is the part of parenting that is difficult for us. You have to study your children to understand how God put them together. Did you hear what I said? And listen, if you got five children, that's five different courses. Did you hear what I said? Because Johnny ain't like Susie, and Susie ain't like Sally, and Sally ain't like Billy. You get it? And where are the books on these kids? You get that one kid, and man, he turned out pretty good. I think I'll have some more. And the one you had ain't like the one that you had at first. And you're wondering, how is it that you make A's and why are you like this? And we begin to compare. You see what I'm saying? So you cannot take this and say, you know what? All of them are going to be trained the same way. No, all of them have a way. And you must study And this is why, as I mentioned last week, we cannot be too busy making a living. We have to be busy making a life. Amen. Because a life is what your children need. I said last week, your children, they're really not interested in stuff. And if they are interested in stuff, it's because they've seen their parents interested in stuff. And they think, man, stuff is where it is what it's all about. So if they see dad and mom on the iPad or on this gizmo or on that gadget or wanting this thing, they're going to think, well, this is what life is all about. And they're going to want that. You know why? Because those are the kind of taste buds that you've initiated in that child. You see how that works? But if you teach them to value the things that God values, they'll have different taste buds. And this goes right back to what I've said several times. We can't give our children what we don't have ourselves. If we don't have taste buds for God, we can't give our children taste buds for God. If godliness is not being cultivated in our heart, it's going to be hard to communicate to these children godliness if we're not willing to be godly. If I don't understand that, you cannot give what you don't have. You cannot help someone go beyond where you are. You get it? And so when it comes to these children, we need to study them, and that takes time. It takes time to be a parent. It takes time in a generation of workaholics. It takes time to actually be a parent to your children. It takes time. The way he should go, keeping in accordance with the child's way. The child has a course of life. He has a mode of action. He has a way that God has designed him that's different from any other child. God didn't make any two alike. All right? Now, I figure this out when I spend time with my children. And you figure this out when you spend time with your children. All right? Now, let's pick up back here. We should be point number three, the way he should go. And then I think I left off on D. Or if I got it all through, we're going to pick right back up here and try to get on with it here. Now, all children have their own unique way. This is the point that I've been laboring on in review here for a little bit. Now, all children have a characteristic. They have a manner that distinguishes them from all other children. Your children are not a number. You know, they're identified by more than just their social security number. They are different. Your children are different. They could come from the same parents. They're still different. All right. Your children are not a lump of clay to be molded in whatever way you see fit. Did you hear what I said? I said they're not a mold of clay. You know what? Man, I had so many dreams in life and I didn't really get to accomplish my dreams, so I'm gonna live out my dreams through my children. That's wrong. Don't do that. God didn't give you your children to live out your dreams. He designed them differently than he even designed you. Everybody understand that? He didn't give you your children, so you know what? I dreamed of being a great Olympic athlete and I didn't make it. I broke my leg. But Philip here, he's going to be, now Philip's leg's about this long, but he's going to be a hurdler. I'm sorry, don't do that to Philip. Philip's probably not going to be a hurdler, all right? You know what I'm talking about? But this is, that's an outrageous example, but people do that. People do that. This guy's going to be he's going to be this, and he's going to be a great wide receiver. He can't catch a cold, but he can't catch a cold, all right? But he's going to be a wire. So you're going to train them. You're going to really do something there. Listen, no, you have to study them and see how did God put my child together? How did God put my child together? All right. Now, so children have a unique way. We see in Proverbs chapter number 30. Go ahead and turn back over there. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. And then he says this, the way of an eagle in the air. You see that word way? The way of a serpent upon a rock. What is he saying? The way of an eagle in the air is different than the way of a serpent upon a rock. Everybody understand that there? What is he saying? They're designed different. They got different purposes. They got different ways about them. They got they got a different characteristic in how they go about things. Look at what it says here. It says, the way of a ship in the midst of a sea. How a ship is in a sea is different than an eagle in the air and a serpent upon a rock. And the way of a man with a maid, the way of a man with his wife. All that is different. But we see the word way there four times. And basically, that word way is used to describe the characteristics of the things that's being talked about. Well, that same word way is the same word that's used in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. He's got some characteristics about him that's different than the characteristics that you'll find maybe with another child. And you have to study that child and his way so that you can help guide him into understanding who he or she is. And that takes work. That takes work. It really does. Now, so we need to initiate. We need to create a taste. We need to cultivate. We need to create a thirst in the life of our children, regardless of their age, regardless of where they find themselves. As they learn to walk, after they learn to walk, when they learn to ride a bike, once they start school, we need to always be cultivating what's right and helping them understand who they are. As they are on their way to becoming an adult, and they are still under your roof, you're still the parent. You don't stop being a parent when they turn teenagers. People have a lot of ideas about teenagers. Well, they basically, when they turn teenagers, they just go blank for 5 to 6 years. That's not true. That's not true. It just means that we didn't stop learning. We just think, well, they're a teenager, and we kind of allow them to have some liberties and then we, man, I don't really know who this person is living in my house anymore. Well, why is that? That's not that teenager's fault. That's your fault. That's my, everybody understand that? No, they need to be studied. They need to be loved. They still need attention, even though they're in the teens or whatever the case may be. All right. We still need to be initiating things and probably more so than ever during those times. Those are some very turbulent, very unstable times when they get to that teenage and kind of on their way to young adulthood. And they don't need you to disengage. They don't need me to disengage. All the more we need to be engaged in our lives at that time. All the more. Now drop down here. And here's some questions to consider. You don't need to answer these right now. But everybody see the section where I'm at where it says questions to consider and answer. Everybody see that? Now, keeping in mind the things that we said last week in a brief review that we gave here just now, does training up a child, listen to this question, does training up a child in the way he should go, as Proverbs 22:6 tells us, listen to the question, does training up a child in the way he should go, as Proverbs 22:6 tells us, does this mean that we should allow the child to do whatever he or she pleases? Did everybody hear the question? So, in other words, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. Does that mean just let that child do whatever he or she wants to?
No.
Everybody, so we understand that means no, right? All right, now, you also notice on there's several scriptures under theirs, right? So, in other words, you say no, and you are right in saying that. But let the scriptures formulate your answer. Amen. And so you've got several scriptures there, and it's not exhaustive. In other words, these are not all the scriptures say about that. But go and search these scriptures out to see what God says about whether or not you should just let that child just do whatever he wants to do. All right. Wait a minute. Because see, the attitude in the world today, even when it comes to spiritual things, I'll just let my child make his own mind up. That's ungodly. You didn't get that from God.
Amen.
I'll just let my child plot his own course of life out and just kind of wherever he come down on it or wherever she come down on it. No, that's wicked.
Amen.
That's wicked. You have a specific command and mandate from God to make sure that child receives instruction in the truth. You have a specific command from God not to let that child just fiddle around. You know what? Let them choose their own religion. I don't want to force anything up on them. That is satanic.
Yeah.
That is satanic, especially when God commanded that he wants a godly seed. He says the reason why I brought man and woman together in marriage is so that they would produce a godly seed. And if God did not want a godly seed, he wouldn't have put that in the Bible. If God thought that it was all right for you to for him to allow you to have children and then let them go off and be heathens, he wouldn't have put all the things in the Bible that he put in the Bible. Everybody understand? So this attitude, listen to me, this attitude of I'll just let the children raise themselves. I'll just let them choose what religion they want to be because every religion is all right. Just we all serve the same God. That's another lie from the pits of hell. We do not all serve the same God. There are people who serve the devil and he is not God. And we understand that he is a God of this world and people just let their children do that. So no, that's not okay. That's not okay. Part of the training of your child and part of the training of my child is to make sure that they consistently receive instruction in the truth. And if they do not, parents, we are guilty. Mm-hmm. We are not excusable. We are guilty. Yeah. We're guilty. So questions to consider. What scripture verses? So most of you say, you know what? It's not right to let the child grow up and do what he wants to do. And we would say, you're absolutely right. It's not right. But do you know why it's not right? And has God given you something? Yes, 1,000 times yes. We've got the Bible. We've got the Bible. Now, recognizing, though, the uniqueness of each child, listen to this, does not discount, listen to this, understand each child is unique. Everybody got that? Each child is unique. Each child, everybody in here is unique. But listen, if you can understand that we're all unique in here, but we all need the same instruction in truth.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? It's the same with your children. All of your children are unique. Our children are unique. But listen, there are some things that should be common to everybody, no matter what personality they have. No matter how they think, no matter what their aptitudes are, there are some things that should be common to all people. For example, we talk about people. Well, this Jim here, he has an A-type personality, and Tony here, he's got a B-type. You heard people talk like that, right? Listen to me. I'm not really into all the A-type, B-type, C-type personality stuff. But if that stuff does exist, please understand this. Tony and Jim, Tony's got an A-type and Jim's got a B-type, both of them need to be taught to love.
Amen.
You see how that works? Both of them need to be taught to respect authority.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the type of the personality is. Everybody understand what's going on here? Here's where we are. Here's where we are in a culture today and in a society. Well, you know, that's just the way I am. That's where we are. What are we saying? We're saying that listen, I've got some sinful qualities about me, and I want you to be okay with the sinful qualities that I have. So the phrase that I say is, that's just the way I am. But you know what's bad? What's bad is the excuses that the parents make for their children's sinful behavior.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? You know how he is. you know what, Johnny, you know you got to call him 10 times and he going to drag his feet when you call him 10 times. Wait a minute. No, what you have said is that it's all right for little Johnny to be slothful and be lazy and be disobedient and be disrespectful. Hey, by you letting Johnny do that, you saying that it's all right for him to be like, that's not the way that God's talking about. Everybody understand what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, that girl been gossiping since second grade. Sally just gossiped. Now what God say about Sally and her gossip? Sally probably got her gossip from Sally sour mouth mom. You know what I'm talking about? And now Sally just repeating what Sally sour mouth mom did. And so listen, wait a minute. This is what's going on. Here's why we can't see what's wrong with our children, because we won't let God tell us what's wrong with us. Did you hear what I said? If I don't have a problem with gossip, I probably ain't going to have a problem with little Sally gossiping.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that? If I'm okay with lying, he told a little lie to get away with that. Yeah, I mean, I could see why he would lie and try to get away with that right there. And now you're excusing him because you know you're guilty of lying. That's not the way.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that? You've got that appendix in the back of that of those notebooks that I gave you there, and it's got all kinds of sinful traits that if you would study the scripture, you would learn some things about yourself and you would learn some things about your children so that you can help your children with what the Bible says. Listen, parents, listen to me. You and I don't need to take our time to get to know God's word while we are missing opportunities to minister to our children, because if I do not allow God's word to discern what is right and wrong, our children are going to get away with highway robbery until you and I decide to get serious about God.
Yeah.
What do you mean? If I don't know the book, if I don't know what the Bible says, how am I going to tell Johnny what he's doing is wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if you sense something wrong, do you know what the Bible says about it? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what the Bible says about it, would you? Here's what you're going to, Johnny, stop doing that! And now good night. You don't even need a microphone. You could just roar it out. You know what I'm talking about? And little Johnny's probably going to get scared for a little bit. Dad does it about three times. Okay, Dad must be halfway serious. He done did it three. Then you call her full name. Now they know you're serious. John Anthony Smith Rockefeller. Now when you done call the whole name, yeah. Hey, didn't I say get out of that kitchen? It's like nobody's in the house. But didn't I say get out of the kitchen? John Anthony Smith Rockefeller. Oh, they must be talking to me. All right. That ain't right. Listen, if you think that is the norm for raising children, that's ungodly. If we think that's what we say, you just got to constantly stay on them. No, God designed children to be a joy,
amen,
not a burden.
Amen.
God designed them to be a joy, not a burden. And they can be a joy with some help from parents. From parents. Yes, they can. And so they have a way, but it does not excuse them from not going in the way of truth. In other words, the way that God designed them to go in and the characteristics that he's given him, God did not make an allowance for them to just be sinners, be sinful. Everybody get that? God is, you know what? Oh, that's his way. Oh, lying is his way. Oh, yeah, that's the way I designed him. No, God didn't design your child to be a liar.
Amen.
Everybody get it? God didn't design your child to be a thief. God didn't design your child to be like that. That's what we gave them. Mm-hmm. That's what we gave them. Yeah. All right? Now, each child is unique, but there are truths that apply to all people. And as parents, listen to this. As parents, I want to say this. We should always desire to be sensitive to the unique needs and personalities of our children. But we also want to ensure that they understand the particular and narrow road that all who claim belief in Christ should follow. In other words, I understand there are children in here that are saved. There are children that you have. Some of your children are saved. They called on Jesus to be their Savior. And for those who haven't, they're not saved. But listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. That's the first job of every parent, is to make sure their child has been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because the things that you want to instruct your children in from the Bible, they don't have any hope of performing if they don't have Christ living inside of them. So the whole purpose of training your children, even if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, is to get them to the place where they realize, I'm a sinner against the holy God. And the wages of sin is death. And when you spank that child, you're teaching them there's a consequence for your sin. You understand that? And we're going to get into some specifics on spanking and different things like that, what the Bible says. But listen to me. When you teach your child that there's a difference between right and wrong, based off what the Bible says, you're going to help that child. You're going to help that child. You don't excuse the sin of that child just because they're different. Now, understand, we've got some characters in the Bible and we're going to look at, but understand this. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way.
Amen.
I am the way. Hey, what's your personality? I'm an A type. I'm a B type. I'm a C type. I'm F type. Jesus says, I'm the way.
Amen.
Well, you know, he's got this and he's kind of geared more towards that and she's kind of geared more towards that. All of them need Jesus. All of them need Jesus. But understand that it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how they're geared or how God put them together in that sense right there. They need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Let's look at some of the parents and their children in the Bible. You remember Adam and Eve, right? They had Cain and Abel, right? Abel grew up loving the things of God. Did he not? Cain was a murderer. They both came from the same parents. All right? You remember Isaac and Rebekah? And they had Jacob and Esau, those twins. By the way, let me just go ahead and throw this in there. Those boys were not helped by their parents playing favorites. And they played favorites with their kids. Right there in the Bible, they played favorites. All right? Listen, Jacob loved Esau because he made him stew. And Rebekah loved Isaac. Jacob loved Esau. And Rebekah loved Jacob because he was a plain man dwelling in the house. I guess he could help her clean up around the house. Anybody understand that? That's favoritism. You don't play favorites with your children. Now, by the way, let me go ahead and say this when it comes to our children. I love doing this too. Please, the worst thing you can do to your child, let me just go ahead and say this along the lines, this don't cost you anything. The worst thing you can do to your child, especially when they have other siblings, and especially when they go out in the world, is to teach them that life is fair. I say that's the worst thing. Here, we do this on purpose. One of our kids may come in and ask for a bag of fruit snacks. Yep, you can have it. And James may say, Dad, can I have fruit snacks? Nope, you can't. Wait a minute. You say, why in the world do you do that? Because what you think going to happen in the world?
Yeah.
You think your kid's going to get the same opportunities as other kids? You better teach them in the home. You see how that works? I'm not really being mean to James because sometimes it'd be the other way around. And sometimes your kids want something that they wouldn't have thought about until they seen somebody else ask for it. Am I speaking everybody's language now? Everybody understand what I'm going on? Listen, don't you make your kids think for 1 minute that life is fair. You better teach them to have some grit. You better teach them to be tough. We're going to talk about those things, but the fact of the matter is, the worst thing you can do, listen, is give your child a welfare mindset and make them think, you know what, somebody going to take care of everything. Everything going to be all right. I say that's the worst thing you can do. Teach them to work. Teach them to be tough. And teach them that, okay, you may have graduated with that kid, but he probably know people you don't know. You may have graduated with that kid, and probably because of the color of his skin, he's going to get some opportunities that you don't. You better teach him. You better tell him. You better tell him before they get. But they don't need to get the hard knocks out there and be totally surprised. Mm-hmm. Give them some hard knocks in the home. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you don't agree, it's right. Amen. It's right. Life ain't fair. Who said it was going to be? Life ain't fair. You know what? Life ain't fair. Let me tell you why it ain't fair. Let me really tell you why life ain't fair. Because all of us deserve to be in hell.
Amen.
It ain't fair that God would send Jesus to save you.
Right.
It ain't fair that the just had to die for the unjust.
Right.
Life ain't fair. Please, stick something in that boy's mouth. Tape it up or something. You know what I'm talking about? Help your children, though. Help them. You got siblings in there? No, you can't have it because he had it, or you can't get it because... life don't work like that. Don't work like that. You might teach your kids that they probably have to work twice as hard to achieve some of the normal things that other people get that don't have to work as hard for it. That happens. You better teach them that, lest they 35 years old at home talking about, man, life is tough. No. Life is tough. No, wait a minute. And what the parents do? The parents feel sorry for how the child getting treated out in the world. Because they didn't teach the child these things. And the child, he's 35, he talking about, man, life is so unfair. And now the parents singing the same song as a child. And they don't understand. They fit in the bill because they done taught him that life is supposed to be fair. And he, life ain't fair. Parents can't even retire. Parents, no, we don't think about the implications of these things, but you better teach your children and help them get some grit. Better help them get some grit. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was with this preacher, and just a couple of days ago, we were in Abbeville, and he was telling me he's got this young man that's been saved, and this young man is growing in the Lord, and his this young man's family, they depend on the welfare system, and they're proud of it. And they're telling this young fellow, he's 19 years old, ain't nothing wrong with him in the world. They're telling him. This is what the preacher's telling him. He says, they're telling him. He says, you know what? When you get out of high school, you know what? You can claim disability and you can get on the system. I said, his family is telling him that. I said, his family is trying to prepare him to depend on the system. Now, y'all think, am I making this up? I ain't making this up. And so he goes back to his preacher. He says, preacher, this is what they're telling me. The preacher looked at him dead in his eyes, says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And the boy just has to confess, nothing's wrong with me. So you ought to work.
That's right.
You ought to not look to get out of high school and get on some system.
Amen.
You ought to work.
Right.
And the preacher said he watched this boy. And he says ever since he told him that, it's helped that boy's confidence. He ain't looking to get out of school and get on some welfare system because mama's telling them to do that or somebody's trying to convince him that there's something wrong with him. I'll tell you what's wrong with the kids, that something's wrong with them. They ain't been beat enough.
Amen.
They ain't been taught to work.
Yeah.
They ain't been taught to get some scratches and get up and keep going. Lick the blood. Don't always look for a Band-Aid. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Get some dirt in it. You know?
Amen.
This is really? Really. Let them fall down something and bump their head. It might get them straightened back out the other way. You know what I'm talking about? Now, that didn't cost you anything, but I'm just letting you know, you better teach your kids. They need to be tough, and you better teach them it ain't fair, and you'll help them.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a shame we got young people don't have a clue about life. And so what we're going to do, we're going to medicate them to death. We're going to medicate them to death. Let's just go ahead and medicate them to death. They have no life skills. They have no life skills. What are we going to do? We're going to medicate them to death. Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy. You better recognize what's going on. Recognize what's going on. Listen to me. What are you saying? Hey, listen, you've got that appendix back there. You need to go back and look at that thing. But let me just list some things that it's not all right for your child to be involved in. Can I just give you some things that it's not all right for your child to be involved in? Hey, can I give you some things that it's not all right for his children to be involved in?
Amen.
Everybody understand? Hey, listen, it's not all right for you to be impatient. What do you mean? You see how it shows up. You might be you having a conversation and little Johnny walks up, hey dad, hey mom, hey dad, hey mom, and they get in between the conversation and you already told them to wait. They count 3 seconds. And they're at it again. Hey dad, hey mom, hey dad. Is that how it works? Hey, that's sin. Don't excuse that. You know how little Johnny is. You know he's gonna wait 3 seconds and come back over here and ask for the same thing. That's wrong. That's wrong. But they may have gotten it from you. Hey, wait a minute. They may have gotten it from you when they watch you put stuff on credit because you can't wait to pay in full. Now, that hurts, and it gets kind of quiet in here when you make statements like that. But the fact of the matter is you help them perfect their impatience. They already had the seed of impatience in them, but they watched their parents help them perfect it. But here's the bottom line. It ain't right for little Johnny to be impatient. Did you hear it say it? It ain't right for little Johnny. I said it ain't right for his kids to be impatient either.
Amen.
Amen? Listen, hey, it's not all right for Sally's sour mouth to go off gossiping. That ain't all right. But they get it from you. They get it from me. That's not all right. That's wrong. But listen to me. All these subjects, the Bible covers these subjects and so many more. You've got an appendix to get started. Listen, if you don't know what the Bible specifically says about some of these things, go to that appendix and then and let it take you to the scriptures that you can go to so you can begin to help little Johnny. You can begin to help little Sally. Listen, it is wrong for your child to worry.
Yeah.
They sick at school. They can't even eat. They got headaches. They come over dizzy spells. What happened to the? What's wrong? Peaches? I don't know. I got all kind of names, so don't. I ain't picking on nobody. But what's wrong, little Peaches? What's wrong, sweetie? Or whatever the case may be, whatever you to name that child, and they worry. I mean, when it comes down to it, they worry. You gonna take the listen, Peaches? She worried about everything. Well, what's going on in her home? Psychiatrist begin to take some notes there. Somebody need to take notes on him, but anyway, he's taking notes. And then he okay, here's what Peaches needs. She needs 300 milligrams of this per day. And probably pick her up. Don't let her go to full day at school. Probably take her out half a day or whatever the case may be. And then they give her this right here. And then it causes 1,000 side effects over here. Is this what happens or is this what happens?
That's what happens.
And listen. You can't cure worry with a pill. As a matter of fact, you can't cure any of the sins of the body, any of the sins of life. You can't cure it with medicine.
That's right.
You can't cure it with medicine. You can't cure it with the world's methods. Peaches is worried. What Peaches thinking about? See, Peaches ain't thinking right. So she's feeling wrong way, and so she's doing the wrong things. Where Peaches get that from? Probably Miss Peaches worry. Or Mr. Peaches. Sorry, but you get the point. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Listen to me. We excuse those things. Oh, you know. You know, she worry about everything. As a matter of fact, she worries so much, I ain't got to worry. I mean, that's how, I mean, you know, she worry enough for everybody. He worry, listen, which I ain't worry about nothing. What? He worried about everything. I ain't worry about nothing. He got enough worry for everybody, so I ain't going to worry about nothing. Now, that's some serious worry right there. That's wrong. That take your health away, strain your nerves, you end up going blind. And then we teach our kids to do the same thing. And this is real stuff right here. Hey, it's wrong for your kid to be forgetful. You know your kid will get over on you. Now I forgot. Like 10 days in a row. 10 days in a row. You ain't giving no new instruction. You just told them to do this right here. And I forgot. That's wrong for you. Wait a minute, I'm thinking. You don't have any mental disabilities whatsoever. And the ones that people claim you got, you really ain't got. What you doing forgetting?
That's right.
You didn't forget that you needed to eat.
That's right.
You didn't forget that you wanted to play on the iPad.
Yeah.
You didn't forget anything like that. Wait a minute. You forget. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. You saw this room like, how you forget to clean something like this? How you forget to do something like that?
That's right.
Hey, and we let them get away with it. That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong is what that is. Listen, hey, it's wrong for your child to be stingy. It's wrong for your child to be, you know, that boy tight with that money. That boy tight with everything. He ain't coming up off nothing. That's stingy. That's wrong. As a man, he wouldn't even have an opportunity to be stingy had somebody not went before him and done for him. That's Bible.
Yep.
You're breathing because somebody that went before you and did something for you. The nerve of us to turn around and be stingy.
That's right.
That's wrong. These are those ways, listen to me, these are those ways that need to be curved.
Amen.
You got what I'm saying? These are those ways that God's not okay with these ways. You understand what I'm saying? God's fine with how he designed a child, but he didn't design a child to be stingy. He didn't design a child to be worried. Everybody understand that? Listen, it's wrong for your child to complain. I don't like the food. I remember when we were growing up. How many of you ever eat hominy? You ever heard of it? It looks like that corn. It's real big. I hated it. I had a sister. I had several of them. I didn't like it. I'd give it to Stacy. Stacy would eat it and then blackmail me later. He didn't eat his food. I thought we made a deal. You know what I'm talking about? We didn't make a deal. Stacy get mad, it was all coming out. You know what I got? But listen, here was the deal. Listen, you don't want this? It ain't like our parents was going to run up to McDonald's and get us something because we didn't want what we was eating. If you didn't want it, you wouldn't eat it. Now we little Johnny. Oh, you didn't want this grilled hot dog. Well, what you want, little Johnny? What you want? No, chicken nugget McDonald's. Chicken nugget McDonald's. All right, little Johnny. John, you're going to eat this. We got to work with Noah. Noah, you're going to eat this. What did Noah do today? Put his toast in the trash?
Yep.
Dad went and get the toast out of the trash. No, you're eating that toast. Wait a minute. Y'all looking at me crazy. Y'all looking at me crazy. But all you're doing is helping a bunch of unthankful heathens grow up.
That's right.
A bunch of wasteful people grow up. I was over in Baghdad, Iraq. Ooh, it made me mad. We had some folks over there, and we were in the middle of a war, and we had some folks over there from the Philippines, and they were kind of providing the services on the base and this and that and the other. And then I'm walking to work, walking to one of those palaces over there. You got to cross this bridge, and they got fish in the water and this and that. And I'm thinking, we're throwing away food, and the animals in the lake are eating better than some of the people on the base.
Wow.
I said, I want to throw up. Honey, what'd I do with that toast? No, I didn't eat it. He ate it. That toast? Yes, it was in the trash with two pieces of sausage. Listen to me. Hey, wait a minute. Oh, no, we're not. No, hey, wait, no, we're not going to do that. That's two whole pieces of toast right there. Somebody took time to, wait a minute. Somebody money paid to get bread. And then somebody took time to put it in the toaster. Somebody took time to fry sausage. Only for you to say you don't like it. Uh-uh. No, we ain't doing that right there. We ain't doing that right there. All right?
Amen.
Wait a minute. Well, I don't like this. I don't like the pork chops and rice. Well, you'll eat it until you're done. So that means if you didn't finish tonight, then you'll eat pork chops and rice for breakfast. And I'm full. Well, if there's still some left, you're eating pork chops and rice for lunch. Are you kidding me? No, I am not. And this is yes as in I mean no. You better teach your children to not complain and to be thankful. Wait a minute. You seen it this last year long? Guy kill his parents. A grown man kill his parents because they didn't cook him something. What?
Come on.
Wait a minute. But all them little heathens got the potential to kill you. Who is this preacher talking about? My little Susie Q would never do something like that. Listen, you're going to be reading about Susie F on the news tonight, all right? Everybody with me? It's wrong. Listen to me. It's wrong for your child to be disrespectful. It's wrong. It's wrong for your children to speak against the elder. That's wrong. It's wrong for your child to blame shift. He did it. Wait a minute. You ever see something left out on the floor? Right? See, in your home, you ought to be working together as a family.
Yeah.
Everybody take care of one another. Right? But you ought not let people take advantage of that. I know he's going to pick it up so I can leave it there. Everybody understand that? Blame shifting and shifting responsibility. And how'd that coat hanger get on the floor? Dad, it's not mine. It's his. That ain't even the issue. Everybody understand that? That's wrong. You say, man, this guy thinks everything. No, I got some things that I think are right, but I'm just saying these things are wrong. These things, no, I know. Don't be like, man, I think the guy thinks it's wrong to breathe. No, it's perfectly fine. It's all right to breathe. I'm just simply saying, listen, you got it? But there are some things that are wrong. Hey, it's wrong for your child to be lazy.
Amen.
Get them on the schedule.
No.
What you get? Wait a minute. What time you get up? You got up at 10 o'clock. I mean, the day's half gone. You know, in the Navy, our day was halfway over at 8 o'clock in the morning. What do you mean? Because we got up and got with it.
That's right.
What do you mean half the day gone? We didn't got more accomplished than most people getting up at 8 o'clock. You see what I'm saying? Most people getting up. The snooze button.
Get the thing out of your eye.
By the time you done went to work, it's time to go home. That's lazy. That's lazy. You listen, letting your kid have this, I'll get around to it eventually. That's wrong. That's wrong. Yep. Hey, it's wrong for your kids to fight. Man, what done happened now? Well, he said this, or she went over there and took that, and now they're fighting. That's wrong. Hey, it's wrong for your child to lie. I said that's wrong. It's wrong for your child to have a spirit of revenge. I said that's wrong. Well, what do we do about this, preacher? Hey, this is what we do about it. We got to teach them up in this way right here. They've got their ways and their own uniqueness, but they need this way right here that God says ought to be common to all of us. Everybody understand that? And there's so many more things I could say, but listen, those things are wrong. Look at David. David was a great king, but David was a terrible father. I said, David, King David, he's a great king, but he's a terrible father. Remember Absalom? Absalom was a rebel. He tried to kill his father and overthrow the kingdom. His own dad. I said his own dad. Solomon, he was a man of peace. They came from the same dad. Now, once again, as I mentioned, when you look at these children and their characteristics and the different characteristics that are not bad, they're just different, this ought to teach us stop comparing your child. Don't compare your children. Don't compare. You got two girls. Don't compare them. You got five kids. Don't compare them, and don't compare them and judge them by which one you think the best. All right. Our son Micah, he's really good at math. He gets his math skills from me. Yes, indeed. I tried to graduate high school without taking math, so he didn't really get his math skills from me. I'm just joking here. But no, he's smart. Things come easy. Abigail, different story. You know what? She puts the work in. She's got to work three times as hard just to get what comes to him very easy. But you know what it teaches us? You can't compare. It's not that she's lazy. It's just how they're geared differently. You understand that? Listen, but guess what? When it comes to reading, he despises it. She'll read everything. You understand that? They're just different like that. Does that mean that you should accept him getting an F in reading? Does it mean that you should accept her getting an F in math? No. You encourage them, but you understand that they're different. You get it? You get it with your kids? They're different. And one of the quickest ways to discourage your kids is constantly comparing them to their siblings. And now they're going to look. Now I got to, man. If I don't measure up to Micah, then mom's not going to really think this, or dad's not going to really think this. If I don't measure up to this one right here, then man, I don't even know if they're going to let me keep being their kid. Wait a minute. Then the kid run away from home. Why? Because nobody loves me. No, these kind of things go through the mind of these children. Let's not compare our children. Don't compare them. Do not compare them. Appreciate how God made them. Amen? Appreciate that. Now, let's go ahead here. Now, Roman numeral 4. Everybody with me still? It says, and when he is old, everybody see that part? When he is old, we're still breaking down Proverbs 22:6. When he is old, here's what the phrase means. When the boy begins to grow a beard. That's basically puberty and maturity begins to set in. So listen, the word old carries with it the idea of the whiskers of a man's chin. And basically that same age, when that happens to a young man, it corresponds in the life of a young lady as well. Not that she grows whiskers or whatever the case may be, but the idea, that phrase, when he is old, that basically here's what it indicates, that manhood and womanhood is not far away. So now if you have taken the time to study your child or your children to help them understand specifically how God put them together, and to encourage them in the way that God put them together. You understand that? You have to encourage them in the way that God put them together. Not encourage them in the way that you want them to go. But encourage them in the way that God actually put them together. Coupled with the things you want to curve the sin patterns in their life. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. No matter how God put them together, they got their foolishness from you and from me. Mm-hmm. You want to curb and discourage that. You want to encourage how God put them together. You get it? And the Bible says when you work at that right there, when he or she is old, they're not going to depart. Listen, from how God designed them. You see that? How God designed. Now, listen. Now, you didn't help the child. Here's what you've done. You've helped them to understand who they are. Now, listen to me. Look at D. As soon as young people begin to exercise, if you didn't get the feeling before that, it should be beard. So, first of all, the blank above that, this should teach us to stop comparing our children. How many of you got that one right there? This should teach us to stop comparing our children. That's what that first blank is. And then when he is old, or when the boy begins to grow a beard, so we have comparing, we have beard. And then the Bible says this in D, as soon as young people begin to exercise. Everybody see that there? As soon as young people begin to exercise their independence as adults, listen, their parents should see the positive results of training them. In other words, if you've really gotten after it and you really studied that child and paid attention to that child, you ought to be able to give that child some liberties, and you ought to be able to sit back and observe that your work is paying off. What do you mean? I understood that this person was talented or gifted in this from the beginning. And I'd help them. And I'm observed some things about them. And now look at it. I've studied them. They're not confused about what they want to do as far as a career. I don't really know. Listen, our children don't need to get to their senior year in high school and still trying to figure out what they want to do with their life.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? Are you serious? What do you mean? I said there should have been a parent there, parents, studying that child, helping that child assess who they are. So now when it's maybe time to make a choice, or even if they're going to go to college. College ain't for everybody. I know that. I know this guy, he's against. No. I'm just saying. Some of them, it may be your desire for them. Just may not be there. Man, well, Dad, this is what I want to do. And actually, I don't really think I'm going to go to school, right? I don't even like school. Now you want to give me more school. It may not be the route for them. Well, you're going to go to school and you're going to do. Now, some of them need to be made to do something because they just bums. And just, oh, no. And they'll thank you for it afterwards. They'll thank you for imposing some things. Listen, by the way, as long as that child does not know how to govern itself, you have to be his governor. The sad part is when he gets in his 20s and 30s, and even before then, he still hadn't learned to govern himself. He's going to go through life with people having to govern him. All right? That ain't good. He can't control his lust. He can't control his passions. Somebody's going to have to govern him. They're going to kill himself. Now, where was I? Roman numeral V says V. Now, can I say this? You see that phrase when it says when he is old? How many of you see that there? Let me help us understand something here. I've been there, and perhaps you've been there as well. But a lot of times when it comes to teenagers, I thought, man, they're just a bunch of rebels. I've worked with them. No, I'm just saying, I worked with teenagers before coming here. I said, man, they don't want to do right. They just want to rebel. They don't want to do what their parents tell them. And you know, a lot of times, you know what it is? Some of them are rebels, but you know, a lot of times, you know what it is? The parent don't have a clue who the child is. The child ain't rebelling at all. It's just that they're strangers because dad and mom never actually got to know the child. Yeah. They put them in this cookie cutter mold and thought that he or she was supposed to do this when God really designed them to do this. And since they ain't doing what they thought they were molded to do, then the parents say, bunch of rebels. You see how that works? Do you understand that? I can't get him to do nothing. Do you know him? Do you know what he likes? No, I just got to get him to do this right here. Have you talked to him? Besides putting your finger in his face and just disrespect him, so on and so forth. Have you really just talked to the child? Ah, boy. Will not depart from it. Why? Because you did it according to his or her way. And when you train a child according to his or her way, you're going to help them know who they are. And you are going to help them to discover the way that God put them together. You know, God put your child together a certain way. I can't stress that enough. He put you together a certain way. Hey, part of your confusion in life is you hadn't figured out how God put you together. Did you hear what I said? Part of us are troubled, especially if we have to make it on our own. Right? Because in making it on my own, I probably have missed out on how I was put together. And making it on my own, if I didn't have mom and dad to maybe observe me and help me out with some things, I probably missed out on some things. Everybody get it? And so we're bound to repeat some of those things even in the life of our children. Now, you poured your life into helping them know who they are, and they will thank you for the rest of their days. And now when that child leaves home and they're tempted by something that we know is wrong, because you've helped them know who they are and because you've taught them in the ways of the Lord, notice I mentioned two things, you helped them understand who they are, and you've actually taught them in the ways of the Lord, they're going to have strength to resist temptation. Wait a minute. Why do boys go off and join gangs? Why do people grow off young ages and put substances in their body that's ungodly? Why? They want to belong. Why do they want to belong? They never figured out who they are. You see how that works? They're looking to identify with someone or something. Everybody understand that? And a lot of kids don't join gangs just because they're mean. You get it? They don't go out and get involved in some stuff because they're just mean. They're just, you know what? Man, mom and dad don't know me. And they just kind of let me go out here and do this. And I'm just kind of floating around here trying to find who I am. And there's always a gang that's up to no good. Says, you know, come on over here. We take care of you, little G. Man, that was a handsome little boy. What happened to him? How he turn out like that? How he end up with that crowd? You see what I'm saying? How she end up running with that crowd? Somebody never helped that child know who they are. That's dad and mom's responsibility. I said dad and mom's guilty of that right there. I'll say this, and I get this from somebody, and I believe it's true. But in the beginning, like those kids age, they're really no bad kids, just bad parents. I said, God gave you and me a head start as parents because he knew we would need it. Did you get it? I said, if you're a parent, you got a head start. Yeah. I said, if you are a parent, you got a head start. Right? He didn't give them to you as teenagers. He gave them to you. Oh, look at a new sinner and come into the world. We got some new sinners getting ready to come into the world. But guess what? Y'all in a biblical parenting class right now. Y'all are getting more than some people. Some people never going to figure it out. And y'all got notebooks. Y'all got the Bible. Amen. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? I said, we got a head start for the little sinners coming into the world. And we can get a restart for the ones that's already in the world where we walked in ignorance. Yeah. Everybody understand how that works right there? And so God didn't give him, man, that boy came out. He was already 6'3". He was 20 years old when he was born. Nobody ever going to be able to say that. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, she already came out popping her nails and popping her neck. And she came out, she was in the hospital. I had to put her in a place the first day at the hospital. Nobody ever had going to get kids like that. You see what I'm saying? So you got a head start. You get a pop in this way so that she can pop that way to all balance out. You know what I'm saying? You got to help that girl. So she don't break her neck, all right? You know what I'm talking about? Got to help her. Now listen, our children need us. If we have failed as parents, your grandchildren still need you. Wait a minute. You remember God told Moses, Moses, you ain't going into the promised land because you didn't sanctify me before the people.
Yeah.
Now, Moses couldn't go into the promised land, but God said, Moses, you go ahead and begin a ministry of encouraging Joshua. He's going to go into the promised land. Yeah. You're not going to get to go into the promised land because you disobeyed me, but your life ain't over.
Yeah.
All right. Did everybody hear what I'm saying? So we have failed in some areas in our life, but life ain't over until you take the last breath. So, man, I didn't raise my children like that, but you know, my children have some grandchildren now. And by the grace of God, my children bring their children over, my grandchildren, and let me watch. I don't have grandchildren. Don't look at me like that, but you get the point that I'm saying, all right? And so now, where I went off with my kids, now I can help my kids help their kids.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't over until you take your last breath. Man, I failed as a parent. Man, I wish somebody would have told me this years ago or whatever the case may be. Man, I wish I would have got saved earlier in life. And man, listen, we can't change anything that has happened. Let's do something about right now. Do something about right now. So, understand that. In conclusion, let me say this. You have it there. Your child has good ways or bents, and your child has bad ways as well. We got to curb the evil ways and encourage the good ways. Everybody understand that? You've got a responsibility to do that. They got their evil from you and from me. They got their good from God.
Yeah.
I said they got their good from God. Ain't nothing about you good.
Amen.
Ain't nothing about me good.
That's right.
Well, you don't really know. How can you say it? Trust me. Trust me. Nothing good about you. Take God's word for it, all right? Now, some of your children are gifted athletically. Some of them are gifted academically. Some of your children love technology. Some of your children have an outgoing personality. You got to watch them. They might get kidnapped with that outgoing personality. You just got to watch them. They never met a stranger. You know what I'm talking about? You just got to watch them. But listen, that ain't a bad thing. I like the child with the outgoing personality versus you trying to get your child to speak to somebody and they turn their back and walk off. And that's rude, ain't it? And then you got the person, they done been, oh, that's all right, that's all right. He'll get it. I'm wondering, is he going to get it? He going to get it all right. Got to watch him. Got to love him. Got to protect him. Got to understand that they are different. They are different. Some children have a great sense of humor. I know one child with a great sense of humor. He's not my child, but I know him. He has a great sense of humor. Anyway, I better quit. But listen, the flawed bents in our children's in our children are due to their sin nature. So, as I said, see to it that your child comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He changes you. He transforms you and me from the inside out, and He does it for your children as well. You share the scriptures with your children. You call your children out on their sin. You encourage your children in the way of righteousness and in the way of good. And you allow the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to bring conviction to them when they have... Listen, don't teach them, as I mentioned. Don't teach them... Listen, when you teach your children, let me say it like this. And when they've done wrong, you need to ultimately teach them you've done wrong against God. You don't know, hey, because when they are 20 and they leave the house, if they don't have a fear of God in your house, they ain't going to have a fear of God in their house. And they're going to end up dead.
Yeah.
That's harsh. That's Bible. They don't respect authority in their house. They ain't going to respect the police.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going to draw down on them. That's how it happens. You better teach them. You better teach them that, listen, you better help them to understand they need to leave that house with a fear of God before their eyes. And that'll set a whole lot of other things in order right there. They leave your house, they fear God. They leave your house, they understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and was buried and God raised them from the dead. And they've called on Jesus. You can't make them get saved. We understand that, right? But you better be constantly plowing that gospel field. You better be constantly sharing. You better be constantly referencing the scriptures. You better be constantly bringing in the church. You better be constantly, hey, let's take time to pray. Hey, let's take time to read the Bible. You that's your job. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of that child. That's just how they come. They get it from you. They get it from me. Yeah. They get it from you, they get it from me. I'm going to just stop and we're going to be done with this. I do want to point this out, though. I want to point this out right here. The rest of this page, under conclusion, how many of you see the section that says homework on there? How many of you see that? You see that? You see the section that says homework? Why won't you do it? Why won't you do it? What do you mean? Do it. It says, write out and meditate on Proverbs 20, verses 11 through 13. Won't you do that? And then it makes a couple of statements under there. Look at the statements that it makes. Flip it over to this last page. You've got something. And listen, you don't have to do it on these days specifically, but you know your schedule better than I do. This is just a schedule that's provided. But listen, we got to take this serious. But look at these questions. What non-physical trait in your child stands out to you the most? This could be a talent. It could be a certain temperament they have. It could be an interest that they have. It could be a habit that they have, good or sinful. Do you see that? Good or... Listen, it's amazing. You watch these children. I've seen some of these children. Some of these children, they got some good habits. They got some bad ones as well. Same with my children. I ain't picking on your children. I got five of them. All right? I said, man, that's good. And man, that ain't good. Same way with your children. You see? Some of your children, they're helpful, but some of them are liars. You probably didn't need me to tell you that, though. That good trait is that they're helpful, but they'll lie to you like you're a rock. You encourage the helpful character, you curve the line. Everybody get it? Yep. Some of them are nice, but at the same time, they don't mind picking a fight. I don't know how that one works out, but they I don't know how that one works out, but you gotta with it, all right? Yes indeed. But listen, these traits that your children have, how are these traits positive? How can these traits be used in a constructive way? All right? Then answer the question, how are these traits negative? Hey, listen, you ought to know your kid better than anybody. Nobody should have observed your children more than you. You're their parents. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're their parents. The principal shouldn't know your children better than you. The person at the rec center shouldn't know your children better than you. The person at church shouldn't know your children better than you. You're wrong for that. Wrong for that. Now, help your child to know themselves. And you can read the rest of that right there. And listen, that is it. When you come back, bring your notebooks with you next time. We'll have another handout for you. We're just going to march through this. Go back. Listen, if this just sits on your coffee table from this Wednesday until next Wednesday, how are you going to be raising your children? Let me go ahead and recommend that you do this. See that appendix? Go ahead and turn to it real quick.